Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Peter has written that baptism now saves you, not a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. Thus far the reading. The Lord rules from sea to sea, even to the very ends of the earth. And yet by his grace, baptism is given as a means of salvation by which the Holy Spirit comes to us, producing faith in us, cleansing us, raising us to new life, to new beginnings. By means of the word and sacraments, we are never left as orphans. Our readings today seem to speak of new beginnings, life journeys, some of our own choosing, and some that are thrust upon us. Our readings also speak of God's promise to come along with us on these life journeys. In our epistle reading today, like last week, Peter encourages believers who had been thrust into exile for the sake of righteousness. They didn't choose that. But the Lord knew their strife. He knew their journey, for he journeyed with them. He would not leave them as orphans, for his is the promise of a new beginning. Things wouldn't always be the way they were. In our first reading today, Paul waited in Athens for Silas and Timothy to come and work with him. He had journeyed from Berea, where the people had eagerly received the gospel, only some had, studying the scriptures daily in order to receive further insights into the word, but also to verify the things that Paul and others were talking about and what they taught. Many in Athens were quite, it was quite different there. Rather than studying the scriptures daily, they lived for speech and debate. They spent their time in nothing except telling and hearing new things, the new and the fresh. In the 5 centuries before Paul's arrival in Athens, from the time of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, the people of Athens had built their reputation in the world through the use of philosophy and human logic as the source and norm of their belief system. For 500 years, the people of Athens had spent their days groping around in the darkness of sin, hoping that they might, by means of human wisdom, feel their way toward God. Not that they had a clear understanding of what God is. But as we have spoken before, human reason, human logic, human understanding without the work of the Holy Spirit cannot know the one true God. And so Paul's spirit was provoked within him. Jesus living in our hearts was provoked within him, for the city of Athens was choked with images of gods and goddesses, things of the human imagination. But in a society where human philosophy and knowledge are set above God's word as the source and norm of reality, in such a society, the truth of God's mercy in Christ Jesus seems nothing more than babbling for maybe a crazy person, someone talking about foreign things, foreign divinities. Yet God desires to engage all people with his word, that by his Spirit's power, their hearts and minds might be open to the message of Jesus. Our first reading today says that some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with Paul. Some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, he seems to be a preacher of some sort. He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching of Jesus and his resurrection. Perhaps part of their confusion was that word resurrection. In their language, Anastasis, we get anesthesia from there. They had a goddess named Anastasia. Was he talking about them or about this thing? Those entrapped in the philosophy of Epicureanism, they spent their days speaking and seeking after pleasurable lifestyle, whatever that lifestyle might look like for the individual. And it didn't matter. No one could say if they were right or they were wrong. With those, and while those entrapped in the philosophy of Stoicism, they stressed the rational order of the natural world as and one's place in that natural order, one's fate, you might say, in that natural order, and the acceptance of that. You can't change it, so just go with it. From these came the lie that says that the world is all that there is and all that there will be. The people of Athens were lost. They were stuck. They were stuck in a cycle of lostness that says this is your lot in life. You might as well get used to it. They were stuck in a cycle that says this life is all there is, so you might as well make the best of it. Do whatever makes you feel good, because this is it. No accountability afterwards. I recall some years ago reading a bumper sticker on a car that read something to that effect. This bumper sticker went like this: live fast, play hard, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse. Perhaps you've seen that one. At first, I chuckled. But I suppose when one rejects the hope of everlasting life, that's all one has left. But while these things focus on the temporary state of mankind's existence, God the Creator desires that all people seek after Him, for in Him there is so much more than this temporary life. In mercy, the Lord had sent Paul to Athens to stand in the midst of their city council, the Areopagus, the place where they would gather, they would speak about their laws, they would do their legislature, they would debate. And here he is, standing in the midst of that, speaking the message of Jesus. The people of Athens needed to know that there is life beyond earthly pleasures. They needed to know that ours is not a fate determined by mankind's interpretation of the natural order of things. Long past is the time of man's so-called wisdom. Long past is the time of wallowing in the ignorance of sin. There is a biblical truth in our readings today. It was going on in that conversation in the Areopagus, in which God's creation and work in the order of human being is distinguished from the destructive work of Satan. It is God's creation that the human being has a body and soul and can think and reason and speak and act, and we can even accomplish some of the things that we set our minds to, because in Him, in the Lord, we live and move and have our being. But since the time of Adam's sin, this human nature of ours has been corrupted, so that our thoughts, our words, our deeds, apart from God, are evil. This corruption finds its origin in the handiwork of Satan. And so the people of Athens spent their time telling and hearing of new things, in the hope that they might feel their way toward whatever or whomever God might be to them. But Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He will not leave you as orphans. The way of the world, on the other hand, is the way of lostness and emptiness and despair. The world makes orphans, for the record. As I studied these things this week, I'm reminded of the blessing of mothers. I'm also reminded of the many burdens that our mothers bear on our behalf. This time of year, I suppose in particular, many mothers are and have been throughout the years burdened and heavy-hearted because their little boy or their little girl is graduating and going out into that great big world out there. So bless your hearts, moms. May you be assured that your work in the Lord is not in vain, and stay the course. And as you adjust to that new normal, as you adjust to that new quietness perhaps in the house, may you be assured also that you are not left as orphans, nor will He abandon your students. As I study this week, I also hear words of caution to graduates. Jesus said, the world won't see Him. Heaven is your home, but the world will reject that. When you talk about heaven being your home, when you try to live your Christian faith, you will be challenged. but you are not alone. When you try to tell people that God forgives your sin because Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead for you, which is absolutely true, don't be surprised when they call you a babbler or worse, but you are not alone. Your parents and others have done their best to shield you from that, but now they feel the weight of allowing you to find your way. May you find encouragement in the experience and wisdom of your parents and your grandparents. And may the experience of St. Paul in our reading today offer insight and courage to stand firm in your faith as you pursue employment opportunities or higher education. Some will assert their education and knowledge as superior to those who have nurtured you in the faith, but they're wrong. Some may use their perceived positions of authority to pressure you into silencing you about your faith, demanding instead that you accept their own personal philosophy about the pursuit of pleasures and the predisposed place, maybe your predisposed place in the rational order of nature. But you are a baptized child of God. You know the Spirit of truth, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The world, having no absolute truth, strives to deconstruct your faith in the absolute truth that God is merciful to you in Christ Jesus. Those of the world, having no boundaries themselves, will talk in circles, in that they will call you the babbler. But take heart. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus said to his disciples that in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. Those of the world refuse to see Jesus. It's as simple as that. But you yourselves know him, and you see him through the eyes of faith. This may sound as though I'm speaking only to the few graduates, those who graduate this year. In a way, I am. In a way, I'm not. Many, perhaps most of us here today, have graduated from some level of education. And since then, at times, we have all been tempted to feel as if the Lord has left us as orphans. But please hear me, He has not. Just look around you. Look into the faces of those around you. For these whom Christ has not left as orphans, they have been through it, just as you have. They have been through life's difficulties as you have. If you still have opportunity this Mother's Day, look into the face of your mother. Or look upon a photo or a memory of her. May you never know fully the things that she has endured, but rest assured, she's been through it. But she was never alone in these things. So also, each of you endures the things of this life, good times and bad, may you be assured that the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, he also speaks to you today. For Jesus says, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and will manifest myself to them." The Lord has not left you as orphans. You are baptized children of God. So when the world makes it hard for your eyes of faith to see the one who is in you, may you see in these around you the hope that is in you. For he who is in these is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus the Christ suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. And he will never leave you alone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.